Seek the Lord's face for the meeting, that we might know the help of the Lord and the blessing of the Lord as we come before him. Our God and our Father, we bow afresh in thy presence. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast given us this way of approach unto thee. We come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, O God, that here tonight as we would worship thee, that we might know thee drawing near. We pray for that help from the sanctuary, Lord, that we might be made able to sing our praises unto thee in a manner, Lord, that is acceptable to thee. We pray, Lord, that thou would undertake for us. We pray that every heart will know the sense of the presence of the Lord amongst us here this evening, and that thou would bless the reading and the preaching of thy word. So undertake for us, Lord, we pray that right now from the beginning to the close of the service, that everything that is said and done will be according to the mind of the Lord, that it might have the stamp of thine approval upon it. Answer prayer, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Returning to the hymn number 274, the number is 274, page number is 286 if you should be using your own hymn book, but the words are on the screen. The number is 274, Lord, through the blood of the Lamb that was slain, cleansing for me.
Cleansing for me, from ever fearing to speak, sing or pray. Cleansing for me, Lord, in thy love and thy power make me strong, that all may know that to thee I belong. When I am tempted, let this be my song, cleansing for me,
We'll come again to the Lord in prayer. Eternal God and Heavenly Father, we come again into thy presence. We thank thee, Lord, once more for that way that thou hast opened up to us, that we can draw near in the Saviour's precious name and come into thy presence and bring to thee our praises and our petitions. We thank thee, Lord, tonight for that cleansing from sin that is ours in Christ, that we can sing, Lord, through the blood of the Lamb that was slain, there's cleansing for me. We thank thee and praise thee, O God, for thy so great salvation. We thank thee for the fullness of it, that nothing needs to be added onto it. We're glad, O God, tonight for that acceptance of the work of Christ. We praise thee tonight that the justice of God is satisfied with the Redeemer's work. And so we come tonight on that basis, Lord, and in the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, we draw near in his precious name. We do pray, Lord, for this evening gathering, for the gospel meeting now. We ask thee that we might know thee drawing near to us, that every heart will know the sense of the presence of God. We pray, Lord, that here in this house there will be that warmth of the nearness of the Lord, that we will experience that newness, that freshness, Lord, even as we consider the gospel message again, that our hearts will be made to warm and to burn within us as we sense what the Lord has done for us. And Lord, we pray that that blessing will be our portion. We do remember tonight, again, any who cannot be with us because of circumstances in their lives. We pray for those that are ill and for those that are elderly. And, O God, we ask thee that thou would draw near to them, even now, Lord, when we in this house would know thy presence, that thou would draw near to others, and we pray that thou would warm their hearts, even with the sense of thy nearness, and as thou would speak to them, and that thou would bring to them the promises that thou hast made, and remind them of the word of God. We pray that their hearts will be done good. So we look to thee for all of this. Lord, we pray that thou would meet with us now in a special way. Remember the preaching of thy word up and down the province tonight, across the border and over in the mainland. We pray, O God, that there be the working of the Spirit of God, that as the word of God goes forth, preached by faithful men of God, that the Spirit of God will take that word and apply it to hearts that he has already prepared. We pray tonight that sinners will be wonderfully, gloriously saved, that the people of God will be blessed and edified. So undertake, Lord, for all of this. Do remember our land, remember our nation, Lord. We bring it before thee. We acknowledge the sin that abounds. We acknowledge, O God, the depth of depravity and iniquity that has flooded into our province and into our nation. And Lord, we pray that thou would look even to the promise afresh that thou hast given to us, Lord, that when evil will come in, when iniquity would come in, even like a flood, we thank thee, Lord, that thou hast promised that thou would raise up the standard against it. And we pray tonight that that standard will be raised up. And we pray the raising up of the standard will mean for us the blessing of the Lord amongst us. Oh, we pray, we long for days of refreshing in our province, around our congregations, the moving of God. And we pray that we'll know that spirit of revival amongst us. Lord, answer prayer to this end. Do our hearts, do our souls good, we pray thee. And answer prayer, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen and amen. This part of the service we're going to call again on our brother Billy Hill to let us have the necessary announcements. Thank you, brother.
Once again, we welcome everyone to our Gospel Evening Service. And if you're visiting us with us, you're especially welcome. And again, we give a special welcome to our speaker, the Reverend David Linton. And we thank thee for the important message he gave here this morning. on Tuesday at 6:45, the outreach for the church children's bright hour. And we encourage as many as possible to come and help with this outreach. Wednesday at 3 p.m., the broadcast on Radio Star Country. And Wednesday at 8 p.m., the prayer meeting and Bible study. The preacher will be Mr. Paul Elliott. Please come along and encourage Brother Paul with your presence. Next Lord's Day, the 12th of September, the Sunday school recommences. And because it's quite a short time, 30 minutes, we had asked the parents, would they please arrange to collect their children about 11:15. And then the following Sunday, the 19th, the Bible classes will resume at 10:40 a.m. And again, next Sunday, the morning service, 11:30 a.m. and the evening service, 6:30 p.m. Both services here in the church building. Preacher of both services will be Mr. Jonathan Story, student at the Whitfield College of the Bible. These are all the announcements.
Okay, and this evening we want to thank our brother for his words of welcome to the church here in Armagh. We're glad to be here today, and we trust that the Lord will have us to know the blessing of the Lord tonight as we gather around his praise and as we gather around his word. We are thankful indeed. We appreciate your minister, Mr. McMillan, inviting us along to preach at the services today. That is greatly appreciated, and we do thank our brother for giving to us the opportunity once more and the privilege of preaching God's word. So we're glad to be here. We're going to turn to another hymn, the number 312. 312. And it is on page number 302 for those using their own hymn books. The number 312, My Faith Has Found a Resting Place. Not in device or creed, I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. We'll stand again to sing.
My faith has found a resting place, not in device or creed. I trust the ever-living one, his wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea.
My faith is as deep as
turning to our Bible reading tonight, to the book of Hebrews, the epistle to the Hebrews in the chapter 12. We'll commence to read at verse 1, read a short portion of this chapter. Hebrews, the chapter 12, and the verse 1. The verse 1 of that chapter. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Amen. We'll end that short Bible reading there at the end of the first four. We look to the Lord again in prayer. We need the help of the Lord as we come to his word. Our God and our Father, we draw near in prayer again. We thank thee, Lord, that thou art not wearied with our much coming to thee. But we thank thee, Lord, that thou art pleased even to answer the prayers of thy people. We draw near now and ask thee for the help of the Lord as we come to thy word. We thank thee, Lord, for these hymns that we have been singing. We praise thee, Lord, that they have been leading us to Christ and to Calvary. And we pray that now as we turn to thy word, that thou once again would help us, Lord, to speak of Christ, to speak well of Christ, to make much of the Saviour. Pray, Lord, that thou would close us in with thyself. Take from us every distracting thought. Let our minds be upon what the Lord would have to say to us. Even now, Lord, we pray that every heart would look to thee and say, Lord, hath thou a word for me? Speak to me, Lord, even in thy word. Pray, Lord, that thou would help in the preaching of the word. We need thine help, Lord. We throw ourselves upon thee. O Lord, that thou, for thine own glory's sake, would help in the preaching of the word. Give clarity of mind. Pray, Lord, that thou would take from me every distracting thought. Pray that thou would grant to me that fresh anointing, that I might know the power of God the Holy Ghost, and that liberty that is found in him for the preaching of thy word. Pray again, Lord, that thou would give plainness and clarity in speaking, that there will be an understanding of what the Lord has to say to us. All of this, Lord, we need. All of this, Lord, we throw upon thee. And we pray that thou would be pleased to answer prayer, that thou would bring glory to thine own dear and precious name. Have the word applied, Lord, to every heart as thou dost see the need of that heart. Answer prayer, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Our text is found in the third verse of that reading from the chapter 12 of Hebrews. And there we read in the third verse, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. We have of necessity in this life many things to consider. Matters which relate to education, to employment, even to domestic and family matters, finance, health, all need to be given consideration, because all of these are very important matters. But beyond all of this, here is a matter that we need to give consideration to. It is consideration to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to give more consideration to the Lord Jesus Christ than to any other matter. At the beginning of that third verse we read, "For consider him." Let me just say that there is a sweetness that is found in considering the Lord Jesus Christ. A sweetness that is not found in anything else. The psalmist speaks of this very thing over in the Psalm 104 in the verse 34 when he says, "My meditation of him is sweet." He's talking about his consideration. He's talking about his meditation upon the Lord. And he says that to him that is sweet. And so here is something that is rewarding. Here is something that is a blessed thing. Here is something that will warm our hearts. Here is something that brings sweetness to us. It is to consider the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this looking unto Jesus, this considering the Savior, it is urged upon us, especially at times of difficulty, times of opposition, times of suffering, times of affliction. Especially opposition and persecution from the devil and from the devil's crowd who would strive against us and strive against us so much that we would be in danger of giving up the walk with the Lord, of growing weary and giving up our service for the Lord. In that verse 4 we read, "Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." And oftentimes it is the case that in striving against sin, against the sin of the world, and against that which lies in our own heart that is displeasing to the Lord, very often it would have us to consider even our standing back and giving up even our walk with the Lord. And so the scripture is saying here to us, by way of exhortation, by way of encouragement, it is saying here, consider him. Consider the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the first two, we read looking unto Jesus. And that word looking there, it is from a Greek word that means looking off or looking away from. It is looking away from whatever distracts and troubles us and looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we have before us then this subject of what we are to consider. Now looking into our verses that we read together, we are to consider him in his saving work. Look at the first two. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ, he endured the cross. Over there in 1 Corinthians 1, the verse 18, the Apostle Paul is speaking about the preaching of the cross. It is the doctrine of the death, of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ to take away the sinner's sin and procure salvation for such as should be saved. That's what the preaching of the cross is. That is what we are to consider when we're thinking about the cross. Is talking here about the atoning work of Christ. Is talking here about his cross work. Here is the cross work of Christ that satisfies the justice of God on behalf of all of those who repent of their sin and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Here is the turning away of God's wrath from such. The sinless Son of God on the cross of Calvary, he paid the price. He paid the penalty of our sin. Now it says here, he endured the cross. It certainly implies his suffering. Back there in 2 Timothy 2:12, this same word that is used here for endure, the Greek word is translated there, suffer. It's the very same word. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered
on the cross. He suffered the sorrows in his soul. He suffered the pains in his body. He suffered the buffeting, the smiting, the piercing of thorns, the tearing of his flesh with the scourge, when he was whipped there with a cat of nine tails and his back was opened up into furrows with that whipping. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered, and he suffered on his way to the cross. This is all part of his atoning work, his journey to the cross, his pain, his agony, his suffering, even as this word indicates. He suffered. He suffered the boring of his hands and his feet with those long, rough nails as they were driven into his hands. Our minds, our imagination tonight can easily see the picture there at the crucifixion, there at Calvary. And we can well imagine how the Savior's hands were nailed, the nails driven through the flesh of his hands, through his hands and into the wound. And how his heels would have been joined together, and the nails, that long rough stake or spike, was hammered through his flesh and through the bones of his heels and into the wood itself. We can imagine the pain and the agony there that he endured on the cross of Calvary. My friend, we read here he endured the cross. He suffered is what the word here would certainly indicate to us. He endured it. He suffered, and he suffered the loss of the sense of the presence of God the Father when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So it's talking here about the saving work of Christ. Consider it, people. He suffered it all patiently, because this same Greek word endure, translated to suffer, and also it is translated to be patient. We go back just a chapter or two, we can find there in Hebrews 10 and in the verse 36, it reads there, for ye have need of patience. That is the very same Greek word that is used there. It's translated to endure. It's translated to suffer. It is translated here to have patience. And of course the Lord Jesus Christ in his suffering, he had patience. He endured all the pain and agony and grief with patience. We read of him in Isaiah, and the chapter 53, the first 7 there, that he opened not his mouth. There we have the picture of the Savior in his suffering. He is that innocent lamb. He's being led to the slaughter. And he opens not his mouth, not in defense of himself. Christ is a sinless substitute. He suffered patiently the penalty that was due to us because of our sin. And he did it, people, as we read here, with joy, because we read in that verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. For the joy. There he goes to the cross of Calvary. There he is in his suffering, in his agony, in his pain, in his bloodshedding. And my friend, he does it with joy. Why should that be the case? What is this joy that was set before him? It is the joy of seeing sinners like you and I saved, delivered from sin's penalty and from sin's power. See something else here. He endured the pain of the cross, but he also endured the shame of the cross, as we read in that verse, despising the shame, counting the shame to be nothing. That is what it means here. He despised the shame, but he endured it. He endured the shame. Do you see the death of the cross? It was reserved for the very worst, the vilest of all criminals. There was utter disgrace associated with the death by crucifixion. And Christ patiently endured that shame and the shame of having blasphemies and taunts and mockings thrown at him there on the cross. People, this is his saving work. We are to consider him in his saving work, his cross work. But then we find also we are to consider him in his steadfastness. Because we read in these verses here again, we mention the term, he endured. There was no thought of turning back. Bible tells us that he set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem. And all of that determination, in spite of the contradiction of sinners against himself, as we read here in the first three. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. The meaning of that word, contradiction, literally means against words. Words that were against him is also translated by other terms in the New Testament, like strife and gainsaying. Do you see, they said many cruel things against the Savior, wicked things, evil things against the Savior. They said that he had a devil there in Matthew 12 and the verse 24. And they mocked him, and they taunted him, and they reviled him, and they blasphemed against him, and they spat on him, and they pulled the hairs of his cheeks. All of this, my friend, they did against the Savior. And yet he endured. Yet he went on. He was steadfast. His face was set to go to the cross at Calvary in order to save sinners. He was steadfast no matter what was done to him. Over in Matthew, the chapter 26, that verse 67, we read, then they did spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? Get the picture, people. We can easily see it in our mind. There the Savior is. He's bound for a Calvary. He's bound for the cross. The cross is immediately before him. And what are they doing? They're spitting in his face. Vile, filthy thing to do. To spit in anybody's face. How would you like someone to spit in your face? But here is the lovely face of Jesus. And men spit on it. And they slap him on the face with the palms of their hands, and mock him. And they say, tell us, who did that? Prophesy to us, who did that? How they mocked him. They misrepresented him. In that same chapter 26 of Matthew, there in the verse 65, they misrepresented Christ. They told lies about him, that he spoke blasphemy against the Lord. But people, all of this he endured patiently. And he opened not his mouth. He could have called for help. Hymn writer penned those words. He could have called for 10,000 angels. But he didn't. Because his face was set on going to Calvary for sinners like you and I. He endured the pain of crucifixion. He endured the shame. He endured the gainsaying, the speaking of words against him, the mocking, the spitting, the slapping, the whipping, misrepresenting him. All of this. None of it turned him back from the work of redemption that the Father had given him to do. People, we can sometimes be wearied and feel like giving up. Such contradictions, continual opposition from the enemies of the gospel, it can bring weariness. It would cause us to give up our walk with God and our work for the Lord and our witness for Him. It can wear us down if there is continual opposition and speaking against us and misrepresentation. It can have a wearing down effect, and afflictions and pain can weary us, and disappointment and discouragement can easily weary us. What is the answer to it all? Consider Christ. Consider Him. What we have suffered by way of opposition and persecution is as nothing compared to what the Lord Jesus Christ has suffered for us. Look at the first four again. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. The term striving there, it is a Greek term that comes from a word that means to agonize. It is the word for agony. There is a bitter fight going on oftentimes in the heart of the believer. There is a bitter fight against sin, again, against the sin that is in the world. And as those who are involved in the grossest and vilest of all sins would oppose and threaten and mock the child of God, because the child of God would stand for truth and stand for Christ and stand for the word of God. There is a bitter fight going on. There is a striving against sin. Aye, and even in our own hearts. A striving against sin. The first one there gives an example of the great cloud of witnesses that have gone on before. There we read, wherefore seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. The word witnesses there is the same word, of course, for martyrs. Those who have gone before us, who have shed their blood, who have been striving on to blood, who have been wrestling, who have been found in the face of the opposition going on with the Lord. Those witnesses who endured such affliction and hostility, they're listed there for us in the previous chapter, in the chapter 11. We're told what they endured. And they endured it because of their relationship with the Lord and because of their adherence to God's truth and to God's word, to God's will. Their sufferings are detailed for us in that chapter. But they endured. And they are witnesses to us, so that we should be encouraged to endure also. How did they endure? They endured because they considered. They considered the Lord. Their eyes were on the Lord in that fight that they were engaged in. But people, these witnesses are an encouragement for us. And we read through the scriptures of the great martyrs of God who willingly gave themselves to the cause of Christ and laid down their lives, rather than renege on the testimony of Christ. We think of the people in the days gone by, think of the reformers, the covenanters, and how they also strove against sin and against the world and against untruth. And they likewise were those who were striving against sin, even resisting unto blood. Great witnesses, great examples. But there is no greater example than the Lord Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, who went to the cross because He loved us. Why did He love us? The Bible tells us God loved us because He loved us. It was his own will, his own volition, nothing good in us to persuade the Lord to set his kindness and his goodness upon us. The Lord loved us when we were unlovely, vile and filthy rebels against him. He loved us, and the Apostle Paul said he loved me. He, the very chief of sinners that he called himself, he loved me, is what the Apostle said. And he gave himself to all of this for me. And dear child of God, we can say tonight, he loved me. Me. Unworthy as we are. Unworthy as I am. He loved me for nothing that he saw in me. All he saw in me was vileness. And in his love for me, he loved me and went to the cross and shed his precious blood so that I could be cleansed from sin, I could be cleansed from that vileness, and that I might be granted by the Savior that precious spotless robe of his righteousness. This is what the Savior did for us. Oh, dear soul, that we should consider him. The Lord repeatedly calls his people to endure with similar terms as this. The Lord wants us to endure. That's his exhortation. Hebrews 12, and the first one that we read together, it says, let us run with patience. The very same word for endurance. Let us run with endurance. Galatians 6 and 9, let us not be weary in well-doing. Hebrews 10 and 35, cast not away thy confidence. That is our confidence in the Lord. Again, Hebrews 10 and 36, we have that same word patience as we looked at earlier on in the service. People, we are to endure. How are we to do that? How are we to have the means of that endurance? Is by keeping our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Is by looking to him. Remember Moses. There in the chapter 11, the verse 27 here of Hebrews. How did he endure? He endured, we read, as seeing him who is invisible. He had his eyes. He kept his eyes. Not on circumstances, not on other people, but on the Lord. He endured as seeing him. My dear friend, tonight, that is how we are to endure in our walk with God. That's how we are to persist in our living for him, in our witness for him, that we might be good witnesses and testimonies for the Lord. No turning back. The Lord here would have us to consider him in his steadfastness. But then people also, we are to consider him in his supplicating for us. Look at the third verse again. Or the second verse rather. Looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Why is he there? Well, in Romans 8 and the first 34, we read that he's there to make intercession for us. Christ is our great high priest. He pleads our cause. He presents our interest before the mercy seat in heaven. Let me read that verse to you in Romans 8 and in the verse 34. There we read, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. There we have it in those verses. As we read the first
We have the suffering and the shameful death that Christ endured. We read here that he died. And then we read he is risen again. We have a living Saviour in the glory at the right hand of God the Father. He lived for us. The impeccable Saviour, perfectly keeping the law of God for us. He died for us. The sacrificial substitute, bearing the penalty of our sins for us. And he rose again for our justification. And he ascended into heaven. And he sits at the right hand of God to intercede for us. What a Savior we have tonight. Dear unsaved, here's the Savior. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. Dear unsaved, this is what you're missing. This is what you're living without, such a Savior and such a salvation as this. Here's the Savior, and he's sitting at the right hand of God on the throne. Our advocate, as he's called in 1 John and the opening verse of the chapter 2, he's pleading our cause. He's our defender. Our defender against the accusations of the old devil. Even as it was with Joshua the high priest over there in Zechariah and in the third chapter. There he is, my friend, and he shows his nail-printed hands. He is there in glory, the Lamb, as it was slain. And he points to the righteousness that covers us. And he says, these are mine for whom I have died. Here is the Savior. As our great high priest, he presents the merits of his death. He assists us. He obtains and he grants to us all necessary grace and strength. And he secures the help that we need against our foes, that infinite help. The Savior prays for us. John 17, the first 9, he says in his great high priestly prayer, I pray for them which thou hast given me, for they are mine. Jesus prays for us. He intercedes for us. He's our advocate. He pleads our cause. Isn't it a great comfort to know that people are praying for us when we are in difficulty or distress? But Jesus is praying for us. He who knows us perfectly, and he knows our every need, he is praying for us. In our loneliness, he prays for us. In our sadness, he prays for us. In our worries and anxieties, he prays for us. Times of persecution, he prays for us. Dear child of God, the Lord Jesus Christ is praying for you. He is at the right hand of God the Father, interceding as an advocate, praying for us, bringing our cause before the Father, pleading for it on the ground of his merits, on the ground of his atoning work. Reverend Murray McShane, he said that he was speaking of prayer, speaking of this very thing of the Lord interceding on behalf of his people, and he said, if I could hear Christ praying for me in the next room, I would not fear 1 million enemies. Yet distance makes no difference. He is praying for me. Dear child of God, consider him. Consider him in his saving work on the cross. Consider him in his steadfastness that he endured. He went on steadfastly no matter what came against him. Oh, that we, by the grace of God, would have him not only to be our Savior, but to be our example in this, that we might look to him. And then, dear child of God, consider him in his interceding for you. In his supplication at the throne of grace, consider him. Consider him tonight, dear unsaved one. You have no part in all of this. You live without Christ. You live without God in this world. You live without hope. As you are now, if it should be that that is the state, that you come to your final moments in this world, that is your state. You have no hope. No hope outside of Christ. There lies before you a lost eternity in hell because of your sin, because of your rejection of the Savior. He who died to save sinners, just like you, just like me. But you have rejected him. You're living without him. Tell me, friend, are you going to die without him? Because if you die without him, you die without hope. You die without a way, an entrance into heaven. You die, my friend, with a sure entrance into hell. You will hear those words from the Lord when he says, depart from me. Depart from me. And there, my friend, you will be cast into that place where the doomed and the damned are forever. Depart from me, for I never knew you. What a sad, sad end to the Christ rejecter's life. Is that how it's going to be with you? Oh dear men, women, young people, turn away from yourself, from your sin, from all else, and set your eyes on Christ, who loved the sinner and went to the cross for the sinner, and cry out unto him, Lord, save me. Lord, save me this night. Save me this hour. Lord, save me this very moment, that I might have life eternal, and have Christ as my Savior, as my advocate, as the one who will plead for me and call on the one who will pray for me. Sinner, call on the Lord. Be saved this very night. Oh, we look to the Lord that this should be the case. We're going to close in prayer. We'll not sing another hymn. If it should be that there's one tonight and you're concerned about your soul state, you're not right with God, but you long to have forgiveness of sin and a readiness for heaven, then don't hurry away. Wait behind. Speak to some of the elders or speak to myself. We'd be happy to speak to you, making sure that we retain social distancing and all of that. But don't put this matter off, dear soul. Don't be lost in hell forever. Our God and our Father, we bow before thee. We do thank thee, Lord. We praise thee again for mercy and grace, for salvation such as this, for such a Savior. And, O Lord, we pray tonight that those who are amongst us, or those who would be looking on by way of social media, who are without a Savior, Lord, that thou would open their hearts, that they might see themselves as God sees them, that they might see their vileness and their sinfulness, their danger because of their sin. Lord, we pray that thou would grant to them that enabling, so that they can throw themselves in the mercy of God and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Save the unsaved. Bless thy people, we pray. As we leave the house of God, may we go with and in the blessing of the triune God, for we ask it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake and honour. Amen.